Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hour number two of the program happening right now. It is the Fan After Dark on a Thursday night. I am Fred Davis, number one phenom in my heart, the one, the only, Blake Elliott.
Diary entry Blake.
That's me. It. Have you heard the Scarface song, Scribbling in My Diary? The diary?
I don't think I've heard that.
You know, do you know who Scarface is, the rapper?
Yes.
You sure? Because I don't know that you do. Trevor, do you know who Scarface the rapper is?
Scarface the rapper? No.
Yes. Okay. We'll continue on. So, let's welcome to the program. Do you know who Scarface is, being that you are a Houston native? And let's not, again, as somebody who lived in Houston for 12 years, we are not going to cast aspersions because my man grew up in Houston, came to Dallas, went to SMU, been here ever since?
I did do a detour to Atlanta after grad school.
That's okay.
But got here back as quick as I could.
As fast as exactly. You could. Exactly. That is the voice of none other best-selling author of the book, How to Avoid Strangers on Airplanes, the one, the only, Mr. Brandon C. Blewett. Mr. Brandon, first off, welcome in. And as somebody who has always wanted to write a book, all right, and I've got several different topics that I would love to get into, and I just can never sit down. I just can't get my brain, and you've sat in for the last couple segments, so it probably doesn't surprise you what I'm about to say, but I've got thoughts running all over the place. A, what was the most challenging aspect of writing the book, and what was kind of that final push for you that you just sat down and said, all right, I'm going to do this?
The first challenge was when I told someone that I wanted to write a book. They thought that it was going to be a coloring book because they didn't think there was anything that coherent inside my head.
Okay, fair enough.
So once we got past that, it really was working with the publishing house and them giving you a due date, because you have the outline, you have the ideas, they're in your head, and maybe you even take notes and keep them
organized. But that process, though, yeah, right. How did that come about? Like, you're working in M&A, you're in the business, the corporate world, you got all kinds of stuff going on. So how does Brandon have time to say, you know what, let me do a book? Because everybody's got that thing they want to do, but you actually did it.
So I travel every week for work. And you see crazy passenger behavior when you're in the airport all the time. And I started noticing routine habits that were just very odd. Okay. And I laughed because I thought, well, if you're having to deal with air travel every week, you can either go insane or maybe you can journal it and turn it into a funny story of all the things you've seen. And as you can tell in the book, a little bit of both happened in my case. But that's how it came to fruition.
How'd you come up with the title?
Well, the title... So I travel every week, like I said, and I wanted something that I could hold up on the plane, and if someone saw it, they wouldn't start talking to me. So that was the...
I like that.
But it's a play on words. The book's actually not about, hey, how do you, you know, completely keep your seat neighbor in the dark on the flight, but more, what are the stranger habits that we see? And not only how do you avoid them when you're at the airport, but I draw a lot of parallels between professional development along the way.
Yeah. So what have you, and so you've been doing, how long have you been a avid, you know, traveling for once a week? I mean, how long has it been going on in your career?
15 years.
15, Freddie.
Okay.
15 big ones.
So what effect did COVID have?
At first, it was great because the airline schedules, the commercial airline schedules weren't consistent. So if you had to travel, we were getting to fly charter planes because they didn't have any customers. And so all of a sudden you didn't have TSA, you're flying on these empty planes.
Yeah.
And then as commercial air started coming back online, obviously the company said, we're not chartering planes for you anymore. Get back on the commercial aircraft.
Yeah.
But there weren't as many passengers. And, you know, some of the airlines were blocking seats in between. So there was just a lot less chaos.
Yeah.
But as restrictions lessened, as more people felt comfortable, it kind of went back to the norm.
Did it change, though, how people interact? Because I feel like this is something that me and Blake have talked about, where I just feel like, and look, as somebody that's done door-to-door sales, and this is outside, right? Like,
right,
this is where people are, you know, like, you'll knock on a door, they'll pull their curtain out, they'll see you.
Right.
And then go back inside or just pretend like you're not even there. Okay. And it's like, if I had a machete or a pistol in my hand, I could see why. But, you know, yeah, and you kind of like, all right, well, this is where we're at now in post COVID world. How did the interaction, because I would imagine that it's a lot easier to not talk to strangers at post COVID.
It is and it isn't. I think that at its height, you know, when people are wearing masks, there's a lot of nonverbal cues you can give with your eyes and with your mouth that can diffuse situations. And I think when planes were packed and you didn't have the ability to see somebody's mouth, that's when I felt the angst between passengers and crew kind of came to a head. I think that once there was a sense of normalcy, there's two things. There's the group of people that, hey, I don't have to talk to anybody anymore. And then there's people that were maybe so socially starved that, hey, I can be a chatterbox on the plane.
I'm gonna flip it a little bit. Have you been to every state in the United States? As far as like airports, not like stayed a long time, but just been in the airport for, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes?
I have not been to the Dakotas and I have not been to Alaska.
Okay, so that's fine. No Dakotas, no Alaskas. All those that are in there, how would you kind of categorize how different people act, like California airport etiquette versus Texas airport etiquette versus, you know, New York or up north or whatever? How would you kind of categorize those different places?
So I think that there's two airports that stand out the most for I don't know what I'm doing when I go to the airport, and that is Las Vegas and Orlando, Florida, not shockingly.
Yeah.
Lots of people from all over the world that are coming there as tourists that are not used to going through TSA or going through the normal protocols. So expect long lines and, you know, shaking your head a good bit. I'd say that the passengers differ less by region in the U.S. and more based on, are there international flights going in and out versus it's a largely domestic airport? Because I think that when it's mostly domestic flights, people kind of know the routine here in the U.S. It's when there's the rules are very different if you fly abroad versus what they are here. And when you have that mix and there's a lot of crowds and there's language barriers and, you know, people can't read the signs, don't know where to go. That's when I think things get a little more chaotic. And
so when those international flights are happening, you're a part of them, knowing that you've wrote a book on how to kind of airplane and etiquette to act at an airport. Are you judging them in your head? Are you like, man, they should read my book? Are you helping them? Are you helping
everybody
them
should read my book?
Are you helping them aloud? Are you a little more reserved at the airport? Are you ever like lending help? Like how do you act when you see the things that you talk about in the book happening in the wild?
That's a great question. One thing that I have done mentally, because when you travel every week, you could let it get to you very easily. But we used to view airports and air travel as great people watching. And if you 100%. Sort of change the mindset that this is a movie or a show, I'm watching this, that's not actually happening to me.
Yeah.
It's actually really entertaining to see some of the things that go on. And I know there's people that will say, oh, I don't want to go through a TSA scanner because it's, you know, stealing my personal identity.
Right.
I'm like, no, what it's stealing is your spatial awareness, because you don't understand that you can't just stop in the middle of a moving terminal.
Okay, I heard you mention that before. Explain what that means, and are you surprised that they finally let us walk through with shoes on? Because I actually got to walk through with my shoes on this past weekend, taking my son back.
When people, the reason I talked about that previously was you know, when people get on a plane with a backpack, for instance, they leave it on their back. And it's like when they go through TSA, suddenly they don't realize that if I'm in a confined space like a plane, if I start turning around in circles,
you're going to hit somebody.
I'm going to start whacking. That's why I called the backpack wrecking crew in the book, because you know, you show up to a meeting with a black eye because someone decided that they wanted to turn sideways. And I don't know why that happens. I wonder if it's just you're forced to go through processes. You're in a confined space. Everyone's kind of trying to move from a point A to a point B.
Yeah.
And people just get flustered. But it is funny on the shoes. My hope is that they'll stop with the 3 ounce limit on liquids. So that way I can bring Lysol to spray the people's feet when they decide they want to fly barefoot on the plane.
What are your thoughts on that? People on the plane, a little bit of airplane etiquette. I think we've talked about this before. So I'll give you two scenarios and you tell me how much it makes you mad. There's a guy somewhere in a close vicinity, no shoes on, maybe he has socks on. How do you feel about that? And then number two, crying babies.
I'll start with the latter. Crying babies, you can get noise-canceling headphones, and I don't think any parent is purposefully choosing to have their child scream.
Nobody's trying to make their kid cry.
And yes, there have been times when I had, you know, a late night for work or we were celebrating something and I didn't appreciate
it. A little groggy the next day.
That's my fault, right?
That's right.
It's my fault, and the baby cannot...
Because you too were a baby at one time.
I was. And I probably cried on plane. So so that actually doesn't bother me as much. The taking off your shoes bit.
Is it only if they smell?
Well, if I don't see it or smell it, then it's not going to bother me.
Yeah. Thank you.
I once had a seat neighbor, this was recently, take his shoes off, had socks on, and went to the lavatory. And came back.
Oh, no shoes. Wow.
And then told me he was going to be a while, which was sort of.
So, hold on. Let me stop you there. So he says, are you in business class?
I was.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're in business class. He gets up and says to you before he gets up, hey, I'm going to be a while.
Exactly.
Had you had any conversation previous?
No.
Wow. That's a crazy opener.
Okay. And so what's your response to that?
What I look like right now? I've never had somebody unprovoked tell me essentially what they were going to do in the bathroom. Yeah,
I think I shake the guy's hand. All right, salute.
Well, actually, he was in there a while, and so the flight attendant came by.
And, I would have stretched out.
Yeah, I was like, she's like, do you need another drink? I'm like, I do.
Keep him coming. How long would you say he was gone for?
So it was a flight from Washington Dulles back to Dallas. So that's about a 3-hour flight. It was probably 10 to 15 minutes, which is
a decent amount of time in an airplane bathroom.
Yeah, they're not comfortable. It's tight.
Look, you're going in there. And look, I have a solid, pun intended, no number two rule on a plane.
Agreed.
Okay. Like I don't think the plane... It's just not the place.
And there's usually only one or two bathrooms.
You know,
everyone knows you're in there. You're kind of hogging it up.
Yeah, I'm not trying to blow up the bathroom. No pun intended.
Also, for you know my age, you know maybe there's a cute girl on the plane. I'm not trying to get off of the plane.
Seriously.
Like, man, this guy's been in there just blowing it up for the last 20 minutes.
You know how our moms taught us to always lower the seat lid?
Yes.
You know, on planes, I will actually do the opposite just so everyone knows. Oh. I was only taking
a good point. It's a good point by you. Did he try to shake your hand or anything like that when he came and sat back down?
Even weirder, he comes back and he's like, I'm going to be a little while longer. I'm going to go for a walk.
Wow.
They think he's at the park?
we're on a narrow body jet, so there's only one aisleway. They've got to have carts in the aisle in the back, and I'm like, this guy's...
just doing a little bit of a strut.
Yeah.
Okay, when you're sitting, where is your preferred seat? Aisle?
Aisle.
Middle? Okay, you're an aisle guy. I am too. Stretch out.
Okay, why the aisle?
I am a little claustrophobic.
Okay.
So for whatever reason, mentally, I feel like I have more control over being to get up and move around.
Yeah.
So
now it says you're a million miler. All right. So let the folks at home that, you know, so we right now we've got two sets of people that are listening, right? We got the people that are just casual travel. Maybe we got three sets. People that don't fly that much at all. So they're learning about this for the very first time. You got the casual flyer like myself, okay, who flies regularly, but not as much as you do. And then you got the business traveler who's sitting there listening to you right now saying to themselves, like, this guy is preaching to the choir right here. So for the folks at home, what exactly, like, how much do you have to fly to be a million miler? And what are some of the perks of being a million miler?
If the airline calling you to wish you happy birthday before your parents is a perk. I guess that is one of them. But that also could be a reflection of my parents. Just kidding, Mom. But it depends on whether you're flying internationally or domestically for business. So when I first started off in consulting, we were doing a lot of cross global deals, multinational companies, GEs, DuPonts.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to rack up the miles when you're going to Singapore, you're going to Europe for work. But the last
holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Since 2018, I've flown almost 100% domestic. So it's a lot of dinks and dunks to get to a million miles. So I've flown a million miles with Delta, and then I've flown about 250,000 with American.
Okay. Okay.
For the average folk, that's myself included, that's going on a flight, say we're going to DFW airport and we're, I don't know, going to California.
Yep.
How early for, let's say the flight is at 1 p.m., how early would you get to the airport?
Right now, I don't know if you've been to DFW recently, but the construction on
it's
the
wild
roads
over there,
is
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
So before you even get to the terminal, things are probably taking 15 to 20 minutes longer than they normally would.
Yeah.
So assuming you don't have anything like TSA PreCheck or clear, and if you're going to check a bag, I would try to be at the airport by 11.
Yeah, that's always. I was trying to do 2 hours. 2 hours yeah. prior, because I can sit in the terminal and hang out and have a good time and be stress-free, charge my phone, whatever. I've seen a lot of people on the internet, especially people my age, doing this whole airport theory thing where they're like not even getting in their car until 10 minutes before boarding and making their flights.
I accidentally do that a lot because at work, you know, on Thursday you want to fly home and you wind up not being able to leave, you know, a meeting until, but it is never fun thinking
I'm going to miss this flight.
And I have all the apps to see that all the flights after this are completely stacked.
Yeah.
And so I really don't want to stay in this place one more night. I want to go home.
Exactly.
Is standby a good option? I've also seen that being a trending thing right now. People waiting on standby. Honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I don't even really understand it. Is it a cheaper ticket if you're standby?
Unless you got the buddy pass.
Right. So if you have a friend that works for the airline, you can get a buddy pass to where you're flying non-rev. So if there's space available, they'll put you on the flight. And I think those are...
There's a lot of anxiety in that, though.
like, are you packing for a trip you may not go on, or are you just waiting for the flight 20
exactly
minutes later?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly it.
But if I were to say I'm in New York and meetings end early and my flight's 7 hours later, I could list standby on an earlier flight. But the way that they rank you is based on what's your airline status? How much did you pay for your ticket? And then also, how much is your schedule going to be impacted? So if there's someone that's, hey, if we don't get this person to Dallas, they're not going to make their flight to Sao Paulo. Like, I would get booted from the flight before they would. So it's I don't know the exact science of math, but they do factor a bunch of things
in. All right, hold that thought. We're going to go to break.
I want to ask them another one.
No, we got plenty more questions. I want to talk a little bit more about the book. And look, college football's, we were talking about this during the break. We're 9 days away. Okay, we are 9 days away.
Christmas is almost here.
Christmas is here. No, Thanksgiving, okay, which is a bleep show, as you guys all know. So we got a lot more to get to. Brandon Blewett, how to avoid strangers on airplanes, as well as plenty of traveling tips. And plus, I've got a couple questions as well, just about the process and when it comes to writing a book and just kind of what has the reception been like as well. So lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is a Fan After Dark. What a read. My God. Trevor, the creator. I'll tell you what, we need to get him a first class ticket somewhere.
You know what? We didn't let Trevor ask a question. I think we should let Trevor get a question.
Let's go.
Trevor should get a question this segment. We hogged the mic.
Well,
and Trevor, I feel like, has some travel questions. Trevor,
I could have a couple of travel
ask away.
Questions.
Okay, go.
That's your chance.
All right. So I had actually one of my very good friends. He told me a story the other day about a service dog that was on a flight, and he did not think that it was an actual service dog, but the dog evacuated his bowels.
Ooh, wow.
In the seat behind him. So literally, like, the dog was freaking out the entire flight, and about an hour left. So I guess what question I would like to know is, what would be, if you were in that situation, what would your what would you like in return for having to withstand an hour and a half of flight of a dog evacuating himself behind you?
That's tough. I think if you don't fly every week, you could easily demand miles or some type of refund for the flight, because that's
disgusting.
Yeah. I don't ever want more miles because I don't need an excuse to ever be on a plane.
Seriously.
but I think that is definitely a situation where I would call the airline and ask for some type of compensation and never accept the first offer.
That's a good rule just in business.
Yeah. That's going to say.
Yeah.
So real quick, peel the curtain back a little bit on what you do professionally when you're not writing books about not talking to strangers.
So people say Darth Vader because I work in private equity M&A, but that's okay.
Are you guys taking over all the HVAC and roofing companies in America?
Paving.
Okay.
I'm very fortunate. We've got a great, great CEO. We do not fire anyone when we close. We like to leave the local branding intact. We're usually adding heads because they run really lean businesses, but that's why I'm on the road is I'm scouting and sourcing.
So how do you find, okay, real quick, I could take this conversation so many different ways. How does your company fight the stigma that private equity is ruining America?
I think that what we do is when we go talk to businesses, they're not dealing with a private equity firm. They're only dealing with the executive team at the portfolio company level.
Yeah.
And we make sure that is what stays in place, that they're dealing with us. We understand the industry. And I think that when you have a track record of not firing people, our roll-up strategy is not a cost-saving exercise. It's all about growth. We're giving these businesses the capital to go out, buy more CapEx, to form new locations.
We have a business. Actually grow the small business, right? Because if that's one thing that, and look, I've done roofing now for the last 2 years, and the one thing we keep hearing is that, private equity's come in, and we've heard this on a number of different occasions, where private equity comes in, flushes it with cash, and then immediately, starts cutting people, and then, customer service goes down, but it's all about turning profits and what have you. So why have more folks, or why do you think more companies haven't been able to adopt the model that your company has?
I think it depends on the firm and who they have leading the organization.
Okay.
To be honest, I think that, look, one of the things that I lead with when I talk to companies is, I'm pretty sure you can tell I'm not from the paving industry, and I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. We don't have a roster of operators that are coming in to do that. And I think that there are a lot of firms and businesses where, they had somebody smart. Maybe they were well educated and they understood the academic side of business, but they didn't understand the real world application.
Boots on the ground style of business, 100%.
I do think that you're seeing a trend where keeping things more local is starting to pick up in popularity.
And then just the reality is not all money's good money.
Exactly.
So, I certainly appreciate that. All right, back to the book.
Yes.
What describe the process of, you know, I mean, look, you're traveling a lot, right? When did you find time for writing? What was your schedule? Like, how did you, because obviously you seem like a very regimented guy, right? Obviously you work out, so I'm guessing that you're a routine-based dude. How did you create your routine for writing a book, and what was that process like for you?
It really wasn't that difficult. And I say that because I think with anything, if you make time for it, you will, and you stick with it, then it becomes part of your routine. And for me, yes, I'm traveling every week, but if you looked at my laundry list of where I've been, I'm not flying to the sexiest locations. I'm not always going to...
You're not hitting the club every time you're out.
No. There are clubs, and if there are clubs, I do not want to be in there.
Going to Oklahoma.
It's a great point.
Yeah. lots of small towns. So, you know, your choices, you know, you finish work at, you know, call it 6:37, you work out. I'm not someone that can go to bed at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And right. So I had,
God bless you.
I had 2 or 3 hours either, you know, drink in the hotel room alone or, hey, put some thoughts to paper and keep writing.
When it comes to the airplanes, worst meal you've ever gotten and best meal. And by that, I don't mean when you're there and, you know, sometimes I think you can order meals. I'm saying the one that everybody on the flight gets, especially when you're talking like international flights.
The best meal? That's a really hard question.
That's what I'm here
answer.
For.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. You know what? Actually, I was on a flight, I think it was 3 months ago, and Delta was serving Shake Shack as an option.
Oh!
And I honestly think that was probably the best tasting meal I've ever... It was hot.
Okay.
It was hot.
With fries or just the burger?
It was just the burger.
Just the burger.
Just the burger.
Milkshake?
No, sadly no. Milkshake. No. Beer.
Beer. And then what hits the bottom of the list?
You can't make a milkshake on a plane, can you?
Why can't you?
I don't know. Could you?
I've seen people ask for frozen margaritas and they were turned down as well.
Mm. Worst meal. Like it came to you and you're like, are we serious? I'm going on this flight, and this is what they just gave me. You don't have to say the airline. You can just say the meal.
Any time that they've offered fish or shrimp.
Oh.
That is not something that should be served on a plane.
Agreed. No. Like, what are we doing? We know how that permeates in the rest of the Airbus that we're all on, and it's, I don't want to say niche, but you're going to have a good amount of people that don't like seafood, so now you've kind of eliminated a lot of, you got to do something that's down the middle, chicken, pasta, rice, something that is everybody likes.
Make me a PB&J. That would probably be better tasting on a plane.
I think they should start doing it how they do on weddings, where they give you an option of what you want. Yeah. I should fill out, do I want chicken, do I want steak, do I want pasta? And then we get on, even if I got to pay an extra $10, $15, I think people would appreciate that, especially on these international flights, rather than giving us all, you know, just frozen meals.
What's been, you finished this book how long ago?
December of 24.
Okay. What's been the most, because one thing about, you know, us doing this show is when you run into somebody who knows you or listens and gives you good feedback, I love you, whatever. What's been the most surprising and or just heartwarming feedback that you've gotten that you did not expect?
I think the most heartwarming has been, obviously it's geared heavily towards people that I've flown frequently for business, worked in whether it's consulting, banking, and kind of share those war stories, but it still has a good kind of ending to it.
Yeah.
That I'm very happy and content with where all of that took me.
Right.
And so hearing from other people that have worked in those industries, remember all the pains of the Monday 4 a.m. flight out.
Yeah.
You know, and hoping to catch the 6 p.m. flight on Thursday, which always turned into a Friday flight, and that it made them laugh and made them appreciate the journey. That was probably the best part. I think the funniest part was when someone outside your target audience gets a hold of it and nothing resonates, and so the feedback is, as you would expect, is just very very not angry, but just I guess some of them are angry, and I ask, like,
what are they angry about?
Why'd you finish the book? Like, when I don't like a TV show, I just don't click the next episode. So I just wouldn't read the next chapter. But
so they're mad, like they finished the book, and like, what were they expecting? Like, you to become an airplane pilot and fly across the world, like, you know, Charles Lindbergh? I mean, what did they expect you to do?
I think they really thought that you were going to read it and have some magical button you could push that so nobody talked to you on a plane.
Oh.
And I try to diffuse that, you know, in the opening monologue, but...
Interesting.
Didn't land.
What do you want? Okay. What do you want people to get out of your book?
I think that you know, by and large, from the travel perspective, I think that if people recognize these habits and we stop committing them ourselves, we can make air travel more pleasant for everyone.
Yeah.
And then on the second piece, I know so many people that felt like they got stuck in the rat race, whether it was consulting, banking, or just career life in general. And it's a lot like air travel. There's delays, there's turbulence. Sometimes you get hit in the face with a backpack.
Yeah.
And there's ways to navigate it so that you can still wind up in a destination that's rewarding. And that's kind of the crux of it.
What's the biggest offender in your book that gives you the most problems when you're at the airlines? I know for me, it's when they're calling boarding groups and someone not in their boarding group gets up and now the line is longer than it needs to be. And even worse, when the airline doesn't correct them. So now me, who may be in group two, whatever, I have to wait behind group four because the airline's like, you know what? We're already running behind. Yeah. Just get on the plane.
So that's the first chapter. Mm-hmm. Call them gate lice. And that's a common term. I did not come up with that. And
you also come up with gatequake too. Was that did you coin that phrase?
I think I did, but okay. If someone's used it, please do not sue me.
What about girthquake? Are you familiar with that?
I'm not.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. We'll give you the rundown on that here in a second.
Gate lice, extremely frustrating. I do think in some airports, there's just not enough real estate. So people kind of hoard around the gate. But American recently has a system where if you try to board outside of your boarding zone, they'll kick you to the back of the line.
Please.
I think the problem is that it's still a holdup, right? So it's still something that's annoying. For me, there's six habits in the book. And sometimes it depends on which day of the week it is, what the flight situation is, how much sleep I've gotten. But one thing that I just don't understand is what I call the eager exiter, where someone in row 22...
Everybody has that guy, right?
And I understand if you want to stand up, right?
Okay.
If you want to stand up.
You're okay with stand up person.
Not put your bag in the aisle when someone in row 16 probably has their bag behind you.
Do they think if they're in the middle of the aisle, they're going to run through people?
Yeah.
Just wait until literally there's no one in front of me and I can stand up and leave.
It used to be when the row in front of you or one or two rows in front of you, you got up.
So you don't have an issue with said person standing up. Because maybe they're, you know, like you said, people, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what about said person who needs to catch a connecting flight?
That's tough because on the one hand, I understand wanting to rush. But on the other hand, you're not going to.
You getting up and running to the front is not going to change.
You know what? Is Fred running late? Let's open the gates. He's going out.
He needs out. Yeah. Brandon's got to go too. Come on, you two. We got to get you out of here.
Sometimes if it is super close, I've landed it at Reagan Airport in D.C. and they have two people on the plane that if they don't make their connection, they're not getting to some random New England town. And they've told everyone, please stay seated. And those two folks darted to the front of the plane.
Yeah.
But when everyone's delayed or someone's like, I have a tight connection, but the aircraft got there on time or early. I'm like, you should have factored that into your, to your ability to get to the next gate.
You know, the plane's going to be running behind. When is a plane ever on time?
That's a great
point. Airbus.
It is. all right. What's been the best part about this? Because look, you've been on, you've done, and look, God bless Annie for getting you on the show with this. But you've done interviews on Fox News, you've been on CNBC, you've been on Fox stations in Kansas City, in LA, all across the country, New York. There's been no shortage. How exciting and fun has this, post-book promotional tour been for you?
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think because it's a topic that's super relatable.
And you enjoy.
And I enjoy it.
And you're good at it.
Thank you. It's fun. So I think it's been nothing but, and I joke with Annie that if I wind up being the person that the PE firm takes the axe to, her next job is to find me a job doing this because this is actually a lot of fun, right?
What's
I got one. I'm going to interrupt you, Fred.
Go for it.
You being an SMU grad, SMU prediction, and then some of your SMU guys are now in the NFL. What's your prediction for some of the guys, the Breshard Smith that's on Kansas City? What are your thoughts on those guys?
I hate predictions because
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28. In-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
I don't know if you'd be very good in sports radio then, Brandon. I hate to tell you, it's part of the gig.
I think we're going to go back to the ACC championship game.
Okay.
I don't know what the record's going to be, but in Kevin Jennings we trust.
Yeah.
Now, the reason
what's
that
y'all's
I'm
NIL budget right now, by the way,
the limit does not exist.
Okay. Hey, SMU fans, right now loving to hear that.
Listen, now it's legal, is what NIL stands for. So we're
you guys were just ahead of your time.
We were.
You guys were just about 40 years too soon
exactly.
to the NIL world.
Exactly. And the reason I'm hesitant to give predictions is so. I started school at SMU in 2001 and graduated in 2005. We won 10 total games my 4 years there. I attended every home game. And
Was that June Jones before?
No, it was Phil Bennett. Yeah, the all-out screaming.
Here's the thing about Phil Bennett. Phil Bennett's a great D coordinator, not a good head coach.
I'm not going to fight you on that.
Don't worry about it. I mean, you know, it's okay. Now, June Jones, he came after that, correct?
He did. Because
he came from Hawaii, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And that was a nice little renaissance, but I think that with the move to the ACC, you just see the difference in attendance and in students, alums, and just random bystanders. I think someone was telling me the other day that tickets to the Miami game this year, we're playing them at home, were like $200 just to get in the gates. And for me, it was when we were students, they were giving
tickets away.
Yeah, and people still aren't going.
That's the UNT right now. They're giving tickets away, and people are ignoring those emails.
What was the – okay, so 01 to 05, you're there when nobody – SMU's not the school that, you know, folks know today.
Right.
Best game you went to during your SMU tenure was?
San Jose State. We snapped a 16-game losing streak.
Okay.
And there was somehow 18,000 – fans in attendance, but the students, because we hadn't seen a win, and I think it was family weekend or homecoming.
Okay.
And we all stormed the field and took down the goalpost.
I love it. All right, I'll tell you what, here's what we're gonna do. We got you here already, so I'll tell you what, because I've got one or two more questions about what you're doing next as far as a book concerned, and it'd only be right if we had him do a fair or foul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it'd only be right if we had you do a fair or foul. So one more segment with our boy Brandon Blewett. Don't go anywhere. Plus, we've already got kind of a half pseudo prediction. He's going ACC championship. All right. We'll put some numbers to it next. Fair foul. Don't go anywhere. Fan After Dark. All right. You guys know what time it is. It's time for a little fair foul. And every now and again, we'll have a little guest edition of fair or foul. Brandon, you didn't know that. Yes, you're going to talk about your book. Yes, we're going to talk some smack here on Fan After Dark, but you didn't know you were going to be part of maybe the hottest segment in Dallas DFW radio. Crank that music up for me, my friend. Shout out, by the way.
What happened to the intro? Is the intro done already? Still in workshop?
No, it's, I got to put it together.
Okay.
Okay. I was busy last night.
Okay.
Okay. Not like that.
My bad.
Nobody was journaling.
Nobody was journaling. Diary.
Okay. All right. No, I had to get to bed at a decent time last night because I had a
What's a night. Decent time for you?
I was in bed last night at 1:28.
Okay.
I mean, you figure, look, I mean, well, here's the thing. Think about it. We get off the air at 11. Okay. Or go ahead and hit your on button. We get off the air at 11. We'll usually shoot the, you know what, till about 11:15. I live in Louisville, okay. Right? So it's about a 20-25 minute drive. And you, like, say you do a big pitch.
Just listen
right?
to Fred rationalize this. See, the thing is.
I need wind down time.
You need, thank you, wind down time.
Wind what do you do in your wind down time? Maybe this is just to be fair, pal. What do you do in your wind down time, huh?
It's not as exciting as it used to be. Okay.
One can imagine.
Here we go. That music only be one day, one day out. Time for a little fair foul. All right. Luckily, you two have tremendous hair. All right. So let's get that out of the way.
PRP.
And Trevor.
Trevor's got great
hair,
too.
We're three for okay. four.
Fred's
don't add,
is...
Don't add me in just to add me in. Come on.
No, now. You have good
you
hair.
You do. You got good
okay.
hair.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Facial hair, TBD, but <All right>. nonetheless...
Get him back, Trevor. Don't let him say that.
What do you mean? Oh, you're going bald, nerd.
No, he said you're going bald.
Because then he'll just say that I dress in cosplay, and then I'll be like, all right, yeah, I can't defend that
see,
one.
Like, he just did that.
Who needs to? So he's going to self-deprecate himself. Okay, he's going to self-deprecate himself. All right, so here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. A UK employee. You been to the UK?
I have.
What's an airport like?
London Heathrow.
I've only been to London Gatwick. I don't think I've either only been to Heathrow or Gatwick because one was not open to the US.
Okay. Good or bad?
It was fine.
Just okay? Yeah. Okay. A UK employment tribunal has ruled that calling a man bald in the workplace constitutes sexual harassment. The decision came after judges compared baldness to physical characteristics that are inherently related to sex, citing that hair loss is far more prevalent among men. The landmark ruling highlights how workplace insults, even those considered common, can cross into discriminatory territory when they relate to protected characteristics. The tribunal stressed that respect and professionalism must be maintained at all times. Legal experts believe this case could set a precedent for how appearance-related comments are handled, expanding protections under harassment laws. Fair foul! High court rules calling a bald man is sexual harassment.
We're getting soft, man.
Granted, this is the United Kingdom, not here in the United States.
I was going to make a joke about who sent that rollover, but I don't want to ignite the fire anymore here on the fan.
Who sent that rollover?
Rule.
Oh.
Rule.
Again, it's the United Kingdom.
I know.
So what do we care? I think it's foul. Okay? If you're bald, you're bald. All right? As my boy Henry Thomas would say, fire them before they quit.
So... Are in the United Kingdom, is there other things you're not allowed to say?
Again, like, I don't know. We're basing this off of whether
sexual harassment feels a little much, though. I feel like it's the wrong word. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying your fault. I'm just saying that in there, it feels like it would just be maybe workplace discriminatory.
Discriminatory?
That word.
Yeah.
I
just think it's ridiculous. If you're bald, you're bald.
I say foul.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, what about people that purposefully
shave their head?
Yeah. Like,
exactly.
Vin Diesel, I mean, you know, in his prime,
Vin
Diesel.
I mean, that's. I'll tell you what, Jason Statham.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me, by the way, legendary Brit, calling Jason Statham bald the sexual harassment? You're going to get a swift roundhouse kick to the face is what
you're
going
to get. What are you supposed to say then? Just lack of hair?
Hey, man with no hair.
I think they're trying to
How are you doing?
What's disparage another? People from even saying
Trevor,
anything.
Trevor, do me a favor in the back. Look up synonyms for bald for what we can call
hairless.
Hairless is up there.
Hairless.
So I guess if you
fair
just,
foul.
If I say fair.
You know what?
I think we should be nicer.
You know what?
And the UK,
you know
and the UK
what?
Is making
you know
the
what?
Right step.
After last night's fair foul, it makes all the sense in the world. All right, real quick. We got about 3 minutes left here in the segment. What's next, book-wise?
Book-wise?
Are you done?
I don't know. I think that if what happens between now and, say, the next 3 or 4 years career-wise, maybe it's enough content. But I put a lot of what happened from the time I decided what I wanted to be when I grew up to what's happened today and in the books, so I don't know. There's a whole lot more to
more to expand. Let me ask you this: outside of being able to do fair or foul here on this radio show, what exciting opportunities that you never thought you would have? I mean, outside of being on TV and stuff like that, what's been the best you know, what am I trying to say here? What's been the best thing about doing the book that you've gotten to experience? What's been the best experience since writing the book?
I think it's the opportunities business-wise where...
That's the word I'm looking for, opportunity. Right. Hello. I think it's Christmas.
There's been a lot of, you know, going on some of the M&A podcasts, talking to other leaders.
Yeah.
It opens a network that you probably wouldn't be able to tap into had you really? Not done something that, hey, I you took the time to write a book. And that doesn't mean that people will necessarily think that it's a good book, right? But
the fact that you did it.
You did it. You took the time when a lot of people say they want to do it. I think you should do it.
Give us an airport hack. All the people listening right now, whether that's, you know, bring snacks on the plane, noise canceling headphones, what's something that you do as a frequent flyer that all of our listeners should do when they're going to different college football games this year?
Yes, thank you for that.
What's a couple airport hacks or maybe just one that stands out?
I'd say always pack snacks because you're not you when you're hangry.
Ain't that the truth.
The snacks at the airport are so ridiculously overpriced.
Boy, they are, aren't they?
But I think the most important thing, if you absolutely have to make it somewhere, always take the first flight out in the morning. I know it sucks to get up that early, but that plane came in the night before. So any issues with maintenance, with crew timeouts, that's all going to be resolved. Yeah, right. So, you know, go to bed a little early, you know.
Yeah.
Or
as long as you don't have Denzel Washington from Flight as your pilot, you should be okay.
See, if that was me, I would just power through. I would just not go to sleep that night and just sleep on the plane.
There you go.
Boom. Yeah. Done.
Look at you.
I'm smart.
I'm in my 40s. I can't do that anymore.
Boy,
I did
it
back in the day.
Someone said phallically challenged. Your follicles?
Yeah.
Is that follicles?
That's foul.
Follicles?
Just call them bald. You know what? If anybody that takes offense to being called bald, we're not friends.
So are we not allowed to call it the bald eagle anymore? Is that...
Well, we can't because it's the United States. Okay, in UK, that's...
The UK.
That used to be a proper country.
Do you think you can call people fat in the UK?
Of course you can.
But you can't call them bald.
Dude, they crack down on a lot of stuff over there.
Have you guys ever seen Taskmaster? You know what that show is? Anything? No?
No.
Okay, well, then there goes all. Anything that I could have said.
Fair foul watching the show Taskmaster.
Go look up Taskmaster. That show, they make fun of people. There's five comedians, and they do weird stunts. It's phenomenal. So go look it up. Go check it out.
You just rip an ad?
Bro, go watch
Use promo
show.
Code Trevor.
Go watch the show. It's
for more information,
phenomenal.
You can text me later
it's
on
great.
In
it's
the
dry
show.
Dry British humor. It's phenomenal. I don't care what anybody says.
Where can folks find the book? And if they want to know more about Brandon Blewett, where can they go?
Absolutely. It's on Amazon. It's on Kobo. It's on Barnes & Noble. And then if you want to find me, I'm Brandon in the Air on X and on Instagram. And then my website is BrandonBlewett.com.
Beautiful. Beautiful. The one, the only, Brandon Blewett. Shout out to our girl Annie Hoffman for making this happen as well. Look, when she suggested it, I'll be honest. The first thing I thought, I was like, I don't know, you know, because I was like, man, a travel guy on a sports radio show. And then we talked about it a little bit. I dug into your stuff and I was like, look, then I saw your interviews. I was like, you know what? Let's just have
some fun.
Let's just have
three segments later.
And I live three blocks away. So
I'll tell you what, I love it when a plan comes together. Mr. Blewett, fantastic stuff. ACC championship.
Yes.
By the way,
you know what? We're going to go at least 11-1 regular season. We're going to win the ACC this year.
SMU Mustangs.
Oh, last thing. Can't get you out of here with this. Cowboy or Texans fan?
I'm actually not a big
NFL guy.
Yeah. So I grew up in Houston when the Oilers left. And then I was an SMU and an Ole Miss fan and an Astros fan. And so when the Texans came online, I was like, I don't need any more grief.
Yeah.
And so I really
say
get into
Astros, though.
They've gotten a little better. But, you know, when I was growing up, they were
Ranger
a little.
Fans. Don't tell that to Ranger fans. I mean, look, I've got a...
Oh.
Okay, shh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. What do you add on the socials?
Instagram is Brandon in the Air as well as X. And then Brandon with some underscores in the air as the YouTube channel.
Beautiful, beautiful. Give him a follow. You will be glad that you did. Coming up next, let's take a trip around the National Football League. Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's Fan After Dark.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.